Holy Spirit, we pray that you will have free course today to move any way, shape, form, or fashion that you want to move. We yield ourselves and we ask that you will enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that you will illuminate our minds, that the words spoken will be words from you and not words of men, but they'll cut asunder spirit and soul. They'll cut to the hearts and determine the intents of us, Father. I pray that you'll minister in us, through us, to us today. Holy Spirit, be the teacher. As I yield myself as a vessel, I pray that you'll think through my mind and speak through my mouth, that I'll be an oracle of God. I pray that all the ears of those present are anointed to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. All in agreement say, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to start off saying I wasn't going to preach this today, but I decided I better just go ahead and do what I believe the Spirit's laying on my heart. Some messages are very direct. And sometimes people don't like direct. But direct doesn't get misunderstood. And one of the things I pray for is I say, God, I grew up in a church where I don't remember one message the preacher taught. And that's a shame because I got a good memory. And I'm not saying he was a bad teacher. I just don't remember any of it. I remember him being up there. I remember him baptizing me, lifting the floor off the bottom of the stage. And you get back to baptismal pool was under stage. I remember the Easter thing when I was 2 or 3 or 4 years old. My line was Jesus wept. I remember sleeping a whole lot on my mother's lap in the front row in the children's ministry. You know, my mother's lap was the children's ministry. I remember sleeping. But I don't, even when I was older at that church, I don't remember one message, one sermon. I said, God, if I accept this call to the ministry, I don't want to be so vague, so indirect that people misunderstand what's being said. And God's been good to me. People understand what I say. Like it or don't like it, you understand what I say, and I know you understand it. And that's good. That's a gift. Because God wants to talk directly from my heart to your heart. I'm never interested in ministering head to head. Because I can minister head to head about, well, you know, this, and then talk a certain ways and talk about, but you say, I don't know if pastor believe that. You know, he's saying it and it's in there, but you know I believe what I'm saying, don't you? You know I believe it. The only way that happens is I have to believe God to talk from my heart to your heart. That's direct. And that way, if what I'm communicating is the word of God, it's hard for you to get away from it. So you feel a little bit hit right and right. We had the tape series out there for you. I don't know if it's still over there, but you can order it if you want it. Called, I taught a seminar at church, here at the church, and it was called Why Does the Word Hurt So Much? It had a guy with a band-aid over his eye on the front of it. I looked at that image. I said, I got to put that in front of that series. Why does the word hurt so much? The word hurts so much because God wants to buffet out of you everything that's not like him. He wants to chisel everything that's not like him, because there's a masterpiece in there. And sometimes if you ask the stone if it wants to be chiseled, it says, no, it hurts. But if you ask the person who believes in that person and sees the best in that person, like your Father God, the Holy Ghost and Jesus and your pastor, that person who sees all that you can be, they're not going to stop chiseling. And once you look, you're going to be, oh, I do look pretty good, don't I? Once you're made, shaped, and fashioned in the image of Christ. So today's message is one of those that's kind of direct. It talks about loving the world because I believe one of the primary reasons to why people don't love God as much as they should love God, because they've already got a lover. If you got a lover, you often don't need another lover. So you got to leave and forsake the one and come to the other, or forsake the other and stay with the one. And when God found you and when he found me, we already had a lover. We were in love with ourselves and the world. The world taught us to love ourselves and to love it, because all that is worldly. But the Bible says if you have the love of the world, then you do not have the love of the Father. You can't love the world and the things in the world. I wrote this, and at the end, I have a slide where I'm going to put it up there. And I want you to think about this carefully, because everything I say after this point is going to be the context of this, what I'm going to read now. And then I'm show it again on the last slide. Too many people. Listen carefully. Too many people professing to be followers of Christ love this world and the things in it. They repeatedly allow concerns and cares for worldly things to stifle the word of God in their lives. They are preoccupied with whom they are attracted to, Preoccupied with upgrading to the next tech gadget. Preoccupied with watching their favorite sports team. Preoccupied with dressing, speaking, and acting in ways to be acceptable to the world. They repeatedly turn a deaf ear to the small, still whisper of the Holy Spirit prompting them to make positive change. They turn their backs on the calling of God to come up higher, choosing instead to fall deeper in love with the world and the things that are in the world. What happened to loving the Father and seeking first the kingdom of God above all other things? What happened to that? Turn with me to our text in 1 John 2:15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 reads, "Love not the world." Now notice this is a commandment, not a divine suggestion. Love not the world. Under what conditions should we love the world? None. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That stuff is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever, or have everlasting life. Now we're going to examine each of these three verses. Let's look at the first verse, 1 John 2:15 in the next slide. It says, love not the world. That's the thing, the world. Love not the world, neither, or love not also the things that are in the world. Well, what things in the world? Things in the world. Everything, air is in the world. I can't love air. Well, I love air. I'm not trying to die. So we just keep reading and we keep going and we miss the revelation. We don't get the full import of that scripture. So therefore it doesn't impact our lives. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Hold up. Now you're telling me don't love the world. I haven't really figured out what that is. You know, just bad stuff. Just don't love. Oh, I don't love bad stuff. I don't love the world. I don't love bad stuff. Things in the world. Well, you know, I don't really know what that means because air is in the world. I can love air. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. So we don't figure out what that is. So therefore we weaken the meaning of if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So therefore we can't get a full understanding of that either because we didn't get an understanding of what they were talking about the world and the things. The love of the world is not compatible with the love of the Father. People who love the things of the world don't love the Father. That's a big statement. And if you read 1 John, you talk about direct. You talk about black and white. John's always talking about the love of God's not in you if you do this. And it's stuff that we do sometimes. He's black and white. And he's the apostle of love. But he's straight. Look what he says here. He says, or he implies people who love the things of the world do not love the Father. The Father loves, and this is this characteristic about the Father. The Father loves the people of the world, but not the things of the world. Now, I'm saying it didn't say God doesn't love the world. It says we're not. So therefore, I'm like, hold up now. The Bible says God so loved the world, then God telling me don't love the world. What's going on here? I need to get some understanding, Holy Ghost. Oh, okay. The people are sometimes called the world. That's the world. But there's also the world system that's the world. Oh, well, that makes sense. Now it makes sense. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Okay, good. I want to be like God. If God loved the world, I love the world. But God said, don't love the world. Something's wrong here. King James, English language not being as precise as the Greek. So, oh, okay. It's God. It makes sense. God loves the people when he says God so loved the world. But God doesn't love what the people do and the way the people act and the way the people have set up his world, the world system. If you understand it like that, it's clear. Love not the world system, neither the things that are in the world. Okay? So we say the Father loves people of the world, but not things of the world. The Father loves people, but many people love things. It's another thing, okay? God loves people. God doesn't love the people system. And God tells us that many of the people love things instead of God because they love the world and the things of the world instead of God. So God loves the people, but the people don't love God back. The people love the things that's in the world. Interesting. creates a dilemma there where it's like, okay, what is God really tripping about? Why are you all upset? Why can't I love the world and love you? I'm a lover. I got lots of love in me. No, you can't love God in the world, nor God in the things in the world. Understand that. Let's look at this. The world is the system and the way the world does things. If the world wants to market something to you, they might not lie. That would be against the law. But the world system doesn't mind being deceptive. They don't mind telling you that, you know, 9 out of 10 doctors surveyed chose Crest. They know you think that means 90% dentists. They know they think that means 90% of dentists use Crest. They know you think you that means that, but that's not what they said. They said 9 out of 10 doctors, dentists surveyed chose Crest. I sell Crest. I know which dentists I sell Crest to, and I go and ask 10 of them. I ask one who I know don't buy from me. I'd ask 9 I know who do buy from me. And then I come and tell you 9 out of 10 that I surveyed. I don't stress the I just say 9 out of 10 dentists surveyed chose Crest. That means absolutely nothing because you don't know the sample group. They didn't tell you they didn't pick the 10 they surveyed. They just said, oh, the ones I asked. Now, I asked who I wanted to ask. And I knew what they would say. But the ones I asked, I can legally say the world system allows that to be treated like it's truthful. Like it's honest. You can't sue them for false advertisement. But that's a lie. Driving on the road, you see one of these little places, maybe an outlet store. You look over there and they say 50% off shoes or something. Wow, you pull up in there and you get there the third pair. Why can't that print be big as the other print? Because I was trying to deceive you. I wanted you to come in my store. Then now that you're here, maybe I could talk you into doing that. You know? 50% off the second pair. Doesn't that mean 25% off? And I have to buy 2 pair now? Ain't no 50% off nothing. You didn't take 50% off anything. How about buy one and get one free? How about I just get the free one? No, you got to buy one. Well, if there's money, how's it free? It's deceptive. That's the world system. To them, that's honest. To them, that's righteous and holy. To us, that's a lie. It's deceptive. That's why I told you, lie is not, in the Bible, to lie is not to say something that's not true alone. It's to say something that's not true with intention to see. Because you can ask me, Pastor Cook, I want a nice little restaurant to go to. Well, you know, I've gone to Applebee's a few times. You go down here 2 blocks and you make a left and go down a block and a half. Then you go there, follow that direction, and you're maybe 2 blocks short of the place and you come back, Pastor Cook, you lied to me. I said, well, not lie to you. Last week you told me to go 2 blocks. It was a block and a half. Then you told me to go over 3 blocks. It was 4 blocks. Did you find the restaurant? Yeah. But you lied to me, Pastor. You said something's not true. The fact that you say something's not true is not the lie, because what's more important to God is the intent of the heart. That's why the word of God is direct, and it determines and it divides, and in the intent of the heart. God judges after the heart. So they are lying in God's thing. Just like when we say something and our intentions don't match it right, God's going to judge us off that. And we're talking about in the negative sense of you lying to deceive somebody, trying to trick somebody. That's a lie. That's the world system. Everybody can see why God would hate that, because it's not predicated upon the truth. When Jesus say, I am the truth, the way and the life. Well, it's not predicated on Jesus when it's predicated on deception. But if I lie to enough people and I tell them, I can get elected to office. When I'm president, I'm going to do this. Look at the Constitution. President, we had the right to do that. That's right. They don't know. I lied to them and they vote for me, because people who are ignorant will vote. That's the world system. People wouldn't follow you if you get in there. When I'm in president, I'm not going to do this, this or that, because everybody's lied to you. I'm going to run my campaign on honesty. I ain't even going to promise that. I can't do that. You got to talk to Congress. But this is what I can do. And people wouldn't vote for that person. They'll vote for the liar. Well, I still want you to be like that because they got money. Things in the world. That's what money does. You can't serve God and money too. You either love one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. But you cannot serve God and mammon too. Old English word for money. You cannot serve God and money. People don't serve God, serve money one way or another. And money is the tangible currency and the things it can buy. Those are, what does money buy? Money buys things in the world. What you gonna buy in heaven? You gonna buy some righteousness? 2 for $1, half off, 50%? How much money does it take to get a little holiness right now? You can't buy the most valuable things in the world. Can't buy it. You're a fool to spend your whole life serving and chasing money. And then when you get old and sick, you want to spend all your money trying to buy back some health. One of the best things in life. God would have talked about health all the way from the beginning. The things he say to you is to stay healthy, to stay whole, to stay blessed. But you got to use Proverbs 3:5 and trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make straight your path. Straight where? Straight to prosperity and success. Meditate the word day and night. You'll get to where you have good success. God knows that this world is not lovable. I absolutely hate this world. I've grown to the point in God now that I can't stand this world. I'm not talking about the people. I'm like, Jesus, Lord, Lord, how long shall I endure? This is not my home. I'm just passing through. This can't be my home. It doesn't feel right. It's too much wickedness and sin. Men love darkness more than they love light. This can't be my home. God, when can I go home? But I'll remain for your continued joy of faith. But to die is gain. But I'll remain for your continued joy of faith. Where we get the name of the church from, Philippians 1:25. Love not the world. There's nothing good about it. And I know sometimes you may have done like me, read that verse, and you're like, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But let's look at it real careful. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. A direct statement, not to be misunderstood. If you're a Christian, you cannot love the world. Yeah, but no buts. Yeah, but no buts. The world is the system and the way the world does things. The world educates your kids to the benefit of worldliness, not the benefit of Christianity. That's why they don't want anybody teaching Christianity in school. When I was in Africa, Kumasi, Ghana, growing up, it was mandatory from kindergarten through 12th grade that you had a Bible knowledge class every year. It's part of the core curriculum. You had to have Bible knowledge. Over here, that's against the law, unless you're a parochial school. It's against the law to teach the word of God, and you pretend to be a Christian nation? That's got to only work in the world system, because that don't make sense no other way. You can't be a Christian nation that does everything to shut down Christ from public view. That's not Christian, but in the world system, that makes sense. Why is that glorified? Because you don't have to tell the truth. That's the world system. That's what God hates. If you don't recognize hell, something's wrong with you. You ain't saved enough. This is a question you ask. No matter what the politicians say, no matter what the books say, no matter what the education says, no matter what the talking heads on the TV say, you ask God, what does he say about the way this country's run? Homosexuality is legalized. It used to not be. Divorce used to be shame. Now it's pretty much encouraged. Listen to all these things that are anti-God and figure out how much anti-God needs to go on with your government before you think your government's anti-Christ. What do we have to do? Come for you? Put your head on the chopping block and cut it off unless you deny Jesus. That's what it's going to take for you to realize that. That's what God doesn't hate about the world system. It lies, and God hateth these things. One of them is a lying tongue and a heart that deceives. That's why you can't love a world like that. Yeah, but we got iPhones and iPods and galaxies and malls and shopping centers. Folks can't stay married. Everything that's important and of value, we don't have. But we got all that nonsense, and the world keeps saying it, because if you tell the lie long enough and you tell it loud enough, faith cometh by hearing. People think they need somebody else outside the marriage. Why do you think that? Because TV keeps showing it. People coming out with no shame at all, just saying, my wife and I have an open marriage. Isn't that called adultery? No, it's not adultery. It's like opening the marriage. The world lies. God's got to hate that because he's honest. Come on now. Now, understanding the context of that, can you see a little bit deeper how love not the world nor the things of the world? If any man loves the world, love the Father's not him. Can you see how the love for God is not in there when you love what God hates and you don't hate what God hates? Well, it's because we don't see like God. That's why we need to renew our minds to the word of God so that we can prove the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. So then we can love what God loves and hate what God hates. I do hate this world. I don't say that lightly. I hate it. Do I hate the people in the world? No, I'm not talking about the people. I love the people. Pastor, you hate homosexuals? No, I love homosexuals. You hate liars? No, I love them. You hate fat people, gluttons? You hate them? No, that. I love people. I'm like God. But I do hate the sin. And I can separate the two. I can love the homosexual and hate the homosexuality. I don't have any problem with it at all because God didn't have any problem with it. And the more I get like God and renew my mind, the more I can be like God and not bother. If God can love me while I was yet a sinner and still, well, I can love people while they're yet sinners. Not like, you ain't good enough for me. Hey, God's not going to love us in heaven 1 ounce more than he loves the people in hell for eternity. It's not an issue of our love. His love for us is an issue of our love for him. They that love me keep my commandments. God loved us. He first loved us. Now the ball's in our court. Do we love him? Not if we love the world. Because, see, the love of the world is why a person says, I'm distracted from going to church because, you know, the game's coming on. If a person goes to church and they got night service and they got a volunteer and they got an usher, because I went to a church in Oklahoma where we had Sunday night service and I was a head usher. And every now and then you have one or two usher would try and tell me why they ain't coming in on Super Bowl Sunday. I said, Pastor going to be here Super Bowl Sunday at church. Holy Ghost going to be here Super Bowl Sunday at church. God the Father going to be here Super Bowl. Jesus going to be here. Now, that sounds like good company. Now, where are you going to be at again? Because you're scheduled to volunteer. Where are you going to be? I guess I'm going to be at church. You guessed right. Because you do want to be with that company in heaven, don't you? That sounds like good company. Now, I'm not talking about it's a sin to miss church, but I'm talking about if you're scheduled and you gave your word to be there, you don't skip church to go watch the Super Bowl. Just a game. They call it a game. Because I saw maybe about 15 or 20 minutes of it, and that was it because I really don't care. You know, I watch, it's not my sport. Nothing wrong with football, nothing wrong with basketball, but I play basketball, so I watch a little bit of basketball more than I watch a football. Nothing wrong with it. You might like football. You play football. I'm not calling none of this sin. I just call it all distractions, including basketball. It's just distraction. But I make sure it doesn't distract me enough from the plan of God for my life. What about you? Because that's still part of the world system. I know it. I'm not going to love it more than God or anything in the Word of God because that's still part of the world system. And although they try to encroach more and more time in my heart, I ain't letting that happen. Because I'm not going to leave my first love for some prostitute that Satan throws up to me. There's nothing in this world can get you to heaven. Nothing. I love not the world nor the things of this world, and I'm encouraging you to do the same thing. Love not the world nor the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You remember Matthew 6:33, which is so familiar. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things should be added. In the context there, they were talking about necessities of food and clothing and things like that. But it goes to greater than that, too. What is it you need? God supplies all of your needs. Didn't say all your wants. And people misquote the Old Testament, all your desires. God, give me desires in my heart. Suppose you desire someone else's wife. God going to give you that? You take that scripture out of context. There's other scriptures to make sure you can't go crazy with that. Suppose God says your delight is in my word and he wants to give you more of his word and that desire is of your heart. Because when you get his word, you won't be wanting someone else's wife. So a lot of people, without the word being in them, without their mind being renewed, they take a scripture that only applies to people who have the word in them. Like the scripture says, you ask whatever you will and it'll be given to you by my Father in heaven. But it says you have to be in the word and the word has to be in you. Then you will ask what you will. Because if you get the word in you, you won't be asking for stuff that's sinful. But if you go around as a carnal Christian, a sinful Christian, and you asking, you're going to be asking stuff God's not going to give you. You took that out of context. That's worldliness. That's wrong. God is until you reap what you sow. The world isn't like, if you can take it, it's yours. I want what I have is mine and what's yours is mine if I can take it. That's the way the world thinks. That's why God hates it. If I can cheat you through MasterCard and Visa into you being poor and me being rich, I don't care anything about how that leaves you. I don't care about the fact that I educate you so you aren't smart enough financially and then I manipulate you. I don't care about that. I'm rich and you're not, because if you're dumb enough to let me do it and I made sure you're dumb enough by not educating you any better, I'm going to take advantage of you and I'm going to be rich, the 1% with 80% of the world's wealth. Because God loves people. The world doesn't love people. The world loves money. And the things it can buy. The world loves things. God loves people. That's why you love not the world, nor the things in the world. Because the things that draw you off, the stuff money buys and the love of the system, the love of the game. Man, I'm in the credit game. I know I'm messing up a whole lot of people because it's like taking advantage of children. I don't need it. I want to be the lender, not the borrower. I shall lend to many. I shall borrow from none. Now, there's nobody in here going to talk about what a blessing a credit card has been. It may be OK now, but you're not going to talk about a blessing because you got friends that are so far in debt. They wish they didn't have that debt. Don't even remember what they bought. And they're paying and they're now a slave because the borrower is the servant of the lender. You shall lend to many and borrow from none, God says. And we borrow from everybody and lend to nobody. The lender's the investor. They get the interest. The borrower is the one who gets the stuff, borrows the money, and pay more than it should pay for it in interest. And God in his wisdom said, my children should be the investor, not the one who's borrowing. But there are people sometimes in their disobedience loving the world system because everybody got a credit card and its prestige and its status. They all go get the credit card so they can have prestige and status. Love of the world. Oh, let's finish there. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the things of the world are its gadgets, its sports, its music, its drama, its other entertainment, distractions. Stop and think of what you do most of the week. When you're not at work, you're with some gadget, some sport, some music, some TV show or drama or a motion picture. Most of our time, other than being at work and sleep or at church, is that. Don't you realize there was a time when you couldn't go home and turn the TV on? You didn't have 500 channels. You didn't have satellite like I had that had 19,000 channels. Some of them would duplicate, but you had the Detroit coverage of the NBA game. You had the California coverage. So a lot of it was duplicate, but what is that? That's part of whose system? God's system. Thou shift get in thou 30th hours of TV that thou might grow. No, that's something that the world made up to distract you. And if you don't watch it, it will achieve its purpose in distracting you. Because look at the amount of hours you spend on an iPhone, on a computer, on a thing. We would be far better if we didn't have them, although we think we need them. And they're there. They just facilitate what's coming. One world government, one world order, total surveillance. You've got to have computers for that. You can't do that before. The technology didn't exist. You have to have the technology to control the whole world at one time. Something Julius Caesar couldn't do if he wanted to. Something Pharaoh couldn't do if he wanted to. He could not control the whole world. But with what's coming up now, you will be able to control the whole world for the first time. That's what all this technology is headed towards. You've been better without any of it. It in and of itself is not sin, but if you don't watch it, you will fall into the purpose it's for. And some of you, this happened in your lifetime, you won't understand what I'm saying till they come and say, you know what, we're tired of people being robbed and all that. We got a new system now. We're just going to do away with money. That's an uncool, old, archaic way. Just use your Apple Pay and swipe your card here. Just use your watch and swipe your watch. Here, just put this mark in your hand. Stick one on your forehead so you don't lose it. And then they're going to know everything you buy. And you're going to buy right into a hook, line, and sinker despite what God said the world system is about. Because you loved it all. And they moved it so incrementally slow that you weren't even aware. Right. Just like sheep led to the slaughter. They're going to know all kind of stuff you may hide now. That's the world system. To control you, to dominate you, to be God in place of God for you. Let's look closer at what those things of the world are. In the next slide, it tells us there in 1 John 2:16, for all there is in the world, say all. What's left over after all? Nothing. For all there is in the world, God said, is these three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And these things are not of the Father. They're not of the Father, but that's all there is in the world. So why would you love the world if God saying all is in the world is this? And when we talk about advertisement, false advertisement, all these kind of things, all of it is lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. These things are Satan's tool, the God of this world. These are his tools to deceive the saints. The God of this world uses lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. He used it at Eve. He went up to Eve and said, Eve, you know what? Look over there at that fruit. Behold, it's good to eat. That does look good. Lust of the flesh. Look at it. It's shiny. It's glistening. Lust of the eye. Ooh, I want that shiny bauble. I need that. That's nice. It'll make you wise. Pride of life. I'll be wise. I'll know things. What did he do? Jesus fasted, comes back hungry. And Satan says, bow down before me and you can have this bread. Lust of the flesh, need for the body to have a good food, to have bread. Jesus was hungry when he did it to him. Took him to a high place and said, let me show you all the kings of this world. All this is mine. See, look at the glory of it, the mountains, the gold. The whole earth is mine and fullness thereof is all mine. Lied to Jesus, and Jesus knew the word, so he didn't go for the lie, but he showed it to him. Now, if you don't know the word, he'll show it to you and you'll go for it. Look over there. The grass is greener over in that yard. You ought to go get with that one there. That's only because they take time to fertilize the yard. When you get over there with your nine, take care of the yard self, it's going to be just as brown as the yard you got. But look at it, though. Look at it. And he told Jesus, I'll give it all to you and make you the king, pride of life. All there is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. That's all there is in the world. Looking at this world system, we see it appeals to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And lust and pride are both sins. Two types of lust and pride. They're both sins. Satan had so much pride that Lucifer, when he was Lucifer, an angel of God, and he exalted himself. He said, I'll exalt myself but a thing. That's a lot of pride. First sin ever committed was pride. Thinking more highly of yourself than you are. Thinking you deserve or you somebody better than somebody else. Just pride. You know, well, I'm going to exalt my throne by the throne of God in heaven. And why would he say throne? Because he wants to rule the universe. Pride, 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 pride. Lusting after power. Lusting after God's position. You're not. Satan, Lucifer wasn't prepared to run the universe. He couldn't even run himself. Ran himself to hell. That's what he did. All the wisdom he put together ran himself in hell. He wasn't prepared to run the universe. He wasn't righteous. He wasn't holy without flaw. He wasn't somebody who have a standard of goodness. He created the world system. He obviously doesn't understand right and wrong. He's delusional. But most people follow him over God because they're delusional. Well, I should say, like they said of Eve, they're deceived. They're deceived by him showing them lust of the flesh. Lust of our pride of life. Why aren't more people in church today? There's something out there they're lusting after more importantly. And I guarantee you something appeals to their body. Oh, just stay in that bed. You know, Pastor Cook, I was going to get up, but your bed was good today. Lust of the flesh. You know what? They pay time and a half on Sunday. So, you know, like I got to get that money. I want that money. I want that prestige, that pride of life. It's always something. God's telling us all the truth, telling us everything that's happening, revealing every plan, and we act stupid. Sometimes. And that's why he said, don't love this world. Don't love this world. If you love this world, the love of me is not in you. Can't you hear a father's heart pleading? Can't you hear somebody saying, baby, I love you. That guy right there is not good. Don't be with him. But daddy, I love him. I'll be with him. But you shouldn't love him. You know I love you, and I'm telling you, I know that kind of guy. Don't be with him. Your mother telling you, I know that girl. Your mother is doing like Proverbs 31 woman. A lot of people attack men when they teach that and get all upset, but that was a woman that wrote that. Lemuel's mother wrote that. Lemuel's mother said, son, come here. You're a king. You're a royal man. I know women. Let me tell you something about them. You don't want this kind, that kind, that kind. This kind you want. One that ain't going to give you no sweat because you want one you can trust. You want one that's got integrity, one that's going to take care of the house, one that's going to take care of you, one that's going to support you. You read Proverbs 31. That's why so many women don't read it. They hate it. But don't be, that preacher preaching out of Proverbs 31. We're preaching what a wise woman, older woman wrote because she loved her son and said, son, let me tell you about some of us. So when mama starts saying, you know what, you better watch that one, you better watch that one. When daddy starts, because men know men and women know women. That's wisdom. So this is a father telling his children, love not the world. Don't do that. that's not going to be good for you. Well, I don't see how it's going to be good for me. It all look good to me and feel good to me. Now, don't do that. That's not going to be good. That somebody's lying to you. They put a veneer, a facade on the outside, but under that is dead man's bones. You don't want that. That's going to bring sorrow and pain. I don't see how that's going to happen. See, you just old-fashioned, God. That's all. Mom and daddy, y'all old-fashioned. Folk don't do that no more. People sleep all over the place now. Yeah, but the Bible ain't changed. God hadn't changed. Nothing's changed. We still have to hold the standard. Ah, the standard's old-fashioned. Why? Because Satan's voice is louder. The world now will get up on the Grammys and disdain God, get up on the Emmys and disdain God, get up on the halftime show and have rainbow drums and all that. Right? Why are you going to take a rainbow and make it the symbol of homosexuality? Because you're trying to put some perfume on stink. It still stink. Used to be homo, homosexual, fag, faggot. Now it's gay. That's such a happy word. Now, it ain't gay. It's sodomy. It's homosexuality. It's sin. I mean, even they know themselves when they call us straight. So when people say now, I say, they say, oh, you're straight. I say, are you crooked? What are you trying to say? I'm straight. I know I'm straight. Are you crooked? They created straight. So I said, I like that. I'm going to work that one. Because again, whoever controls the terminology controls the thinking. And that's why they say gay, because that's positive. That's why they pick rainbow, like the reading rainbow for children. All the bright colors make it all sound so happy. Don't be dressing up sin. It still stinks in the nostrils of God and anybody that want to be like him. The world is rotting. It's perishing day by day. It shall pass away, and soon it'll be cast in the fire and incinerated in the garbage heap. And you can choose whether you're going to be with them or not. We're going to go ahead and wind up for this week, because next week we're going to finish it. We're going to make two parts out of this. Don't miss next week. It's getting better. I'm just warming up. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the word today and for the wisdom of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being present, touching your people today. I thank you, Lord, that as they go home and they listen to the tape, the CD, whatever, as they meditate it, Father, it touches their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just